You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K24AL Haleiwa, and it's time for In the Garden on the Farm.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. We're your hosts, Paul and Robin, and on today's show, we are celebrating the KKCR Fall Membership Drive and talking story with horticultural savant Mylan Rupert.
Aloha, Robin.
Aloha.
Hey, listeners. It's great to be here with you on the Wednesday of the fall, where we are celebrating the fall membership drive for KKCR. It's been a really fun, exciting time so far, and we're putting out a big invitation to all of you who appreciate our show and want to see it continue, as well as all the great programming here at KKCR, to join us in being a member of KKCR, renewing your membership, becoming a new member. And I'm going to give out the numbers, 826-7771, 826-7774, and let you know that our goal for the show is $1,000, and we're starting off with no dollars, so we really need your help. And so please call and support us.
Sure, and I just want to let you know right away, in case you need a little time to contemplate this throughout the hour, but for this show only for the garden show, so grateful to Jimmy Trujillo for offering an angel pledge level that's $365, $1 per day. The Kauai Beekeepers Association will deliver and set up a beehive and give you, get this, 6 months of maintenance and instruction for your $365 angel pledge to KKCR. So if you've been interested in wanting to have some bees, hop right on that. Thank you so much, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. What a fun and engaging premium to get for becoming an angel pledge member here at KKCR.
So
we're gonna jump right into the show as we always do. We're gonna start with a celestial session, looking into the heavens near and far to help guide our planting efforts. And we're gonna begin with the Hawaiian moon. And today's Hawaiian moon is Kukolu. Kukolu rises on Kauai at 10:02 a.m. this morning. It'll reach its transit, or its highest point, as it travels across the heavens at 3:42 p.m. and she'll set at 9:23 tonight. And like the moon last night, as we become more familiar with the moon and her passing, it's that time of a beautiful crescent moon to be seen after sunset. Really a beautiful time to be out and appreciating the heavens. 15% of the moon's face is illuminated today, and we'll be experiencing the first quarter moon arriving on Saturday. Kukolu is the third of four Ku moons in this beginning stage of the moon's monthly cycle. So it is the Ho'onui, or rising on Ahulu, and it is good for planting kalo, mai'a, and uala. So lots of really good, important staff of life plants would be very happy to find their way into the soil today.
Excellent, excellent. Well, looking at it from the biodynamic perspective, today and tomorrow the moon will be in the Sagittarius sign, which is a fire sign, leading us to work with our fruit plants. It would be a particularly good time to harvest fruits. Friday through Sunday, check it out. Yippee, the weekend off. Unproductive gardening days for the whole weekend. So go out and have some fun, or make some compost and do all those other kinds of things you do when the moon isn't right for planting. Late Sunday into Monday, the moon will move into Aquarius, an air sign, making it good for flowering plants. It would also be a great time to do seed collecting on those 2 days. And Tuesday, Wednesday next, moon in Pisces, a water sign, making it great for leaf plants.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And I know that I'm going to be doing some pruning over the weekend. the food forest up in Kalihiwai is growing luxuriantly, and those nitrogen fixers definitely need to be checked in their growth, as well as we need some organic matter underneath our fruit trees.
What a wonderful thing to be growing your own compost, eh?
Indeed, right on site. So I want to let people know that, gosh, right when we started the show, we had some phones ringing, but we do want to invite you to call in at 826-7771, and please support The Garden Show and KKCR, which provides so much value to our community. Without further ado, we want to welcome our special guest in the studio today, and a returning guest, Mylan Rupert from Kauai Nursery and Landscaping. Mylan brings an incredible wealth of experience in plant production and community development to our island. Prior to arriving on Kauai, he spent 25 years in West Africa serving as a forestry instructor in Senegal, farming diversified tropical crops in Senegal and Gambia, and as environmental program manager with the Peace Corps, he trained Peace Corps volunteers and their counterparts in fruit tree propagation and culture. Employed by Kauai Nursery and Landscaping since 2002, he is responsible for propagation of fruit trees, bamboo, and aquatic plants. Welcome back to the show, Mylan.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
It's certainly great to have you, and we've been lucky enough to have you on the show a couple of times, and we just dived right into fruit trees, and now we learn that you have decades of experience in all manners of tropical crop production and training of rural communities on how they can achieve food security. It's pretty exciting work.
It was very gratifying.
Well, I'd love to hear how you were guided to follow that path to West Africa and how things developed there for you.
I'd been working in Europe as a landscaper for a number of years, and I got sort of tired of building gardens for rich people who didn't appreciate it in Switzerland, so took a years-long trip through Africa, across the Sahara twice, and as far as Tanzania. And on the way back, we swung through West Africa and fell in love with the people there. You know, the climate and scenery were not up to East Africa, but wonderful people with a very rich culture. So I did a rapid professional change, worked as a forestry apprentice, and went to Swiss Forestry Technician School, and was able to get a job as a forestry instructor with a Swiss project in Senegal. And, of course, that had nothing to do with fruit trees, so we were trying to get as much reforestation and natural forest was left in the Sahel, just under the Sahara Desert, very difficult conditions. But the farmers were really not motivated to plant forestry trees because of the long period of maturation and the uncertain financial outcome of that.
Right.
So the director had the bright idea of using fruit trees as a carrot to encourage farmers to plant firewood trees and such. So
Were they using native trees for the reforestation?
No, not much. Mainly eucalyptus.
Mm.
And there was a terrible practice of the forestry department of clearing natural forests and replanting teak, which was, climate was marginal for teak anyway, and they would get funds from donors and wipe out natural forests, plant teak plantations, and then abandon them. So a couple of years later, you go through and it would just be vines and weed trees. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe because I worked on the practical side as an instructor rather than a classroom teacher, the director said, well, Rupert, you're going to work with fruit trees with the farmers. Oh, great, okay. Never done that, so. There was no internet at that time, so it was a bit rough getting the information, but I managed to teach myself how to graft and then teach others to graft and sow fruit trees. Because the climate there, mangoes did very, very well, the citrus fairly well, but lychee, gonga, and the type of true tropicals, we never saw them there yet as much.
Right. And where did the plants actually, how did they arrive, the diversity of fruit trees that you were able to acquire?
Well, I was in contact with a company in California, which I still deal with many years later.
Wow.
And I gave them all the climatic conditions that we dealt with and soil analysis and everything. And they recommended certain root stocks for citrus. And I was able to then start a citrus rootstock nursery. And they also recommended different citrus species that could do well in our climate. So I pretty much tested them on my own farm. In the meantime, I started my own little farm. And the mangoes, I was able to get Floridian improved varieties from an abandoned French project, Scionwood, and we use local mangoes as rootstock. Mm-hmm. So those were the two main, maybe we had a few avocados and such, but mainly mangoes and citrus. And it was very popular, so we would get the villagers to do village woodlots and village orchards.
Yeah.
Great, and I'm curious, when you start working with the local people daily like this, doing work, it probably comes to surface really quick when you start to eat together, that you find that there's certain plants that they really like already that were maybe their own cultural plants. Did you come across anything like that, where they introduced you to certain plants that you wouldn't know before?
There were a lot of leaf vegetables that were consumed, yeah, because baobab, for instance, the sabia, yeah.
Yeah,
the leaves.
Those giant elephantine-like trees.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't think to look at them that here is a leafy green mm-hmm. vegetable
no,
tree.
Yeah.
But
definitely not.
Something we brought in from the University of Hawaii that became very, very popular was moringa. Moringa oleifera.
Yes.
Moringai. Filipinos call it.
Very popular here.
And when I was working with, later at the end, when I was working with Peace Corps with the environmental project, we did a lot of promotion of moringa, yeah,
mm-hmm.
as a leaf vegetable and dried as a nutritional supplement for nursing mothers and children. It was very, very important, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
I found that again here on Kauai, yeah. Another thing we worked with wasn't a tree, but the vetiver grass. We use a lot of vetiver grass for berms, for erosion control.
Yes.
And just recently, it's become very big here on Kauai with your friends, the GMO seed companies. We're planting a lot of berms
with
erosion control.
To good effect, do you think?
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
It's incredible.
Good news. But
there's another product that comes out of vetiver grass also,
mm-hmm.
isn't there?
Mothballs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I never would have guessed you'd say that.
They grew commercially in Louisiana. In
outrageous.
Last century is a mothball.
Wow.
Well, silly me. I thought it was like a special scent that inspired poets or something.
It does make a beautiful essential oil that's very musky and earthy.
What's nice about it, too, is it's sterile. It doesn't go wild, yeah.
Right. It's
propagated by division.
Is this a plant that people can find at K&L?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. So we want to let people know at least a few times that you're offering a new, a revision of a seminar that you've done a number of times that you're going to present it in some new information coming up this Saturday.
Yes, it was the first seminar or workshop that I was coerced into giving maybe 5 years ago. And since then, we have monthly workshops covering all different subjects. So I'm doing the general fruit tree, choice of fruit trees, planting, maintenance of fruit trees. And I'm going to integrate it with a class, with a seminar I gave once before about growing fruit in small areas. So how to get a maximum of fruit production in a small area like your backyard. So it'll be a double seminar, and we're going to be giving away a grafted fruit tree of your choice if you win the drawing.
Super cool. That's inspiration.
It's coming Saturday at 9 o'clock.
Exciting. Okay, so at Kauai Nursery and Landscaping in Puhi, a tree fruit tree care workshop with Mylan.
Yeah, not to be missed, really.
Really. And maybe we'll go home with a picked with a donated tree. However, if you win the prize, however, there will be many fruit trees for you to select from as well.
Sure, and if you're a beginning gardener and you're interested in growing some longer term plants, there really just isn't anyone with more knowledge that I know of on the island to be able to learn from than Mylan. His experience is just amazing. Thank you, Mylan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to give thanks so much to Leland and Mylan and everybody at KNL for the great generosity that they have shown in the past, donating fruit trees to community projects. We have a number of citrus in our community food forest that were donated by KNL. So thank you for sharing the abundance with us as well in that way.
Thank you.
Well, I want to break in and let you know that we have yet another special premium to offer one of our listeners. Thank you so much, David. David Breen of Lotus Farm and Nursery is offering a $100 gift certificate to his fabulous organic nursery if you pledge to KKCR. So call in now, get the details. Thank you so much, David. And as far as I know, we still have the Angel Pledge out there, $365 for Kauai Beekeeper Association to bring you a beehive, deliver, and set up, including 6 months of maintenance and instruction.
Truly. We want to let people know, too, we've got a $1,000 goal, and we're up to $50. So we've got a solid start, but we have a little bit of a ways to go. We sure could use your help here on the Garden Show. Every year we're really pleased with the turnout and the support that we get. Robin and I have been working hard on the new format of the show, trying to put in as much useful information as we can. And if you like what you hear, please call and support us. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Let us know. If you happen to be listening online and you are off island, you can call toll free at 866-275-1112 or on the KKCR.org website. If that's where you are, you can just click the donate button. And we thank you so much.
Indeed. We're lucky enough to be speaking with Mylan Rupert from Kauai Nursery and Landscaping. And Mylan, you've been telling us a little bit about your time in Africa, and you mentioned that you actually started your own farm there, and interested to know what was it like being a commercial farmer in Africa, and what were you selling?
Well, I was equivalent of the gentleman farmers here because I had a good income from the Swiss cooperation, so I was able to invest. I had 16 acres
wow.
Out in the brush that I cleared and put in irrigation. And I grew pineapples, bananas. I had sorts of mangoes and citrus trees. And I also worked with the French sunflower seed company before GMO. But they were doing hybridization and were able to work with me during winter. When it was winter in France, we were able to grow sunflowers and crossbreed them for them. Yeah. So
Now I tried. Far out, and can I ask you, sure. Just interrupt you, were they breeding for like oil content or?
Oil content.
Oil mainly, content. Yeah. That's mainly the sunflower crop. I think a small portion goes to seeds for eating.
Oil, no, it was oil. Mm-hmm. And I tried all kinds of crazy stuff like poultry.
crazy.
No, I had the Rhode Island Red that gave nice brown eggs, and they did very well even in that harsh climate. But the European Union had massive poultry installations in Antwerp and other ports where they would raise chickens in, you know, industrial conditions, right, and feed them with European Union surplus soy and grains. So the import eggs were much cheaper than what I could afford to sell. And people, most people didn't care if they were fresh or brown or white or what.
Certainly the same condition we have here on Kauai.
Yeah. Many things are similar here, yeah.
Yes, indeed. What about the soil?
Laterite soil, very poor, had monsoonal rains 3 or 4 months a year and absolute dryness the rest of the time. Soils were not too good, but easily improved with organic amendments. I did a lot of composting and cover crops.
Mm-hmm.
And so able to build up good fertile soil quite rapidly, actually.
Yeah. And were you using nitrogen-fixing trees at that time?
Yes, we were. Oh, I'm sorry. We were pushing that to, especially with Peace Corps.
Yes.
The Gili Cedra and Sesbania. Mm-hmm. Where we would. They had communal women's gardens, vegetable gardens in the dry season, mm-hmm, but it was very, very hot, very intense sun. So we would plant these nitrogen fixing, have them, encourage them to plant these quick growing nitrogen fixing trees between their vegetable beds.
Yeah,
these were all hand watered from hand dug wells in the low areas.
Wow.
And near the rice fields. So yeah, we did use nitrogen fixing trees a lot. Yeah.
And you're mentioning rice. Now, are we talking Senegal or the Gambia?
Both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the staff of life plants there? Rice?
In the lowlands near the estuaries and mm-hmm, near the coast, mm-hmm, it was rice. And upcountry, it would be sorghum and millet.
Wow.
But there's a lot of problem with the desertification and salt intrusion into the rice fields.
Right, certainly.
So the countries weren't food self-sufficient. Yeah.
Yep. And was cassava not popular there? Or
as a, more as a vegetable and as a staple.
Okay.
It was as a, not, definitely one of the staples as it is in Central Africa or
right,
can't
South
be America.
Can't be stored, so it wasn't kept in.
Mm-hmm.
Kept in the storage bins and all that. Cool. And so 25 years into it, you'd had your fill. You'd passed through many different positions,
mm-hmm,
and different jobs.
Well,
there.
I had 4 sons that were school age or approaching school age, and schools there weren't the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a brilliant decision to come to Hawaii. It had a school system ranked just above Arkansas. But it's been good. It's been good, yeah.
Right on.
Oh, so your sons still live here on Kauai?
3 of them are here and one's on the mainland.
Cool.
Awesome. And so you fell right into the lap of Kauai Nursery and Landscaping, or did you...
Into the lap or into the jaws of Leland Mushek? No, we get along fine. Hi, Leland.
Aloha, Leland. Thank you for lending Mylan to us for the day. Sure is great to have him here.
You'll get billed.
And it sure is great to be here. Thank you, everyone, for your calls and pledges. Just want to remind you, we're in our fall membership drive. We love to hear the phones ringing. We appreciate your donations so very much. And give us a call at 826-7771 or 826-7774.
This is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. You're listening to In the Garden on the Farm with Robin, Paul, and our special guest, Mylan. And right now we're going to hear from programmer Donovan. And what mic are you on there, friend?
It's the...
Three.
Number three? Yeah. Our phones are ringing, and we'd just like to thank everybody who's supporting this show very much for their pledges and their donations. It's essential that you guys call up and make those pledges and donations and become members, because it is 65% of our costs are paid for by this donation and fund drive. So thank you so much for calling in and your continued support of this show.
Yeah. Keep them coming, folks. We're at 265. We've got a ways to go to reach our $1,000 goal, but you're helping us get there. And if you're inspired by this show and other shows on KKCR, all the great Hawaiian music and Hawaiian issues programming, the talk shows, the diversity of musical programming that you get here, then show your love, show your support. I did something different this time and signed up as a sustaining member, and it was both easier for me to make a smaller payment per month, but then when it all is said and done, I'm actually making a larger donation for the entire year. So it feels right, but it feels more sort of manageable. And so I encourage people to consider becoming a sustaining member. You give a credit card number, and whatever amount that you choose is automatically deducted every month. You can either set it to expire after a certain period of time, or you can just have it be indefinitely. So lots of different great ways to donate, and know that we still... I'm sorry, do we still have that angel pledge?
I believe we still have it.
Okay, so we've got an angel pledge from the Kauai Beekeepers Association, delivery and setup of a bee box, plus 6 months of maintenance and instruction from our dear friend Jimmy. And he is instructor at Kauai Community College in the apiary program, and such a proponent for bee health and for the health of the beekeepers industry here on Kauai. A really great leader and a super fun guy. I can just imagine how fun it would be to have Jimmy roll up with his truck and deliver a bee box and give you the personal instruction. So consider that at an angel pledge of $365 today to support KKCR. 826-7771, 826-7774 are the numbers.
Yes, and those premiums are only available on The Garden Show today, so don't miss out. Also, a $100 gift certificate available to Lotus Farm and Nursery from David Breen. Thank you so much. Glorious, glorious, beautiful, healthy plants there. All for your pledge to KKCR, so we thank you so much. You know, I want to take a moment, since we have such a great fruit tree expert in the studio, to do fresh pick today. I really have been noticing more and more oranges on the table at the markets as the weeks are going by. The big boxes of oranges are getting bigger and bigger, and everything from navels to tangerines and tangelos, and it's just really beautiful to see. So this is really a great time of year. Often the trees will give you a nice winter crop and perhaps a smaller summer crop, although it seems to vary by the year. Sometimes the spring and summer crop is a little bit bigger. And I thought we might be able to ask Mylan a few questions about that, and certainly get his input on what he thinks the best oranges are for our climate.
As far as crops go, you stumped me there as far as the... there's no regularity here. For instance, this year, the mangoes were completely skewed, late and early varieties and all, and same with avocados. Citrus is more dependable that you will get them in winter and spring. As far as you're interested mainly in oranges, Robin?
Yeah, mainly oranges. Okay. You know, tangerines. Certainly, we know tangerines are really nice for eating out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Navels also. And they have such a unique... The navel orange has such a unique flavor that's all its own.
Mm-hmm.
How do you suppose that happened?
There are different varieties of navel, different types.
Many, yeah. Right? There, yeah, must be at least a dozen
navel. But most of them are descendants of the Washington navel. And then they developed different ripening times for different niche markets. So you have Lane Late Naval and Fisher Early Naval and Washington Naval and Naval. What I've found here, because oranges, citrus in general, are a Mediterranean climate crop, and were commercially grown on a large scale, California, Spain, such, is ideal for the quality of most citrus. Yeah. If you notice, the oranges and most of the mandarins are not as bright orange colored here as they are when they're coming from other countries. And that's not because they're dyed. It's because of when they're ripening, they need high insulation and lower nighttime temperatures.
Uh-huh.
So around 50 degrees at night and then a lot of sunlight during the day, which we don't get on Kauai. But there are exceptions. And we carry a navel from Venezuela called Caracara.
Ah, and that's similar to a blood orange.
It's a pink navel. Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, blood oranges do not bleed here well in tropical climates. You know, they're generally very insipid and at best light pink, not bright red like you find in Sicilian.
Sure, in that 40-degree latitude, isn't that about the zone where those trees kind of are optimal?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, as far as quality goes, our oranges here are fine, but they're not. They don't have as good a acid-sugar ratio as in a Mediterranean-type climate, so sometimes they're a little bit insipid compared to regular oranges. Okay. Also, aside from navels, you have the Valencia-type, the juice oranges, and we have a really good Valencia called a Midnight Valencia, which is from South Africa. And it's definitely superior to the other, as far as I know, to the other Valencia oranges here. Now, you asked me about this so-called Hawaiian.
The so-called, the mythical Hawaiian sweet orange.
Yeah. Kona, the supposed ancestor of this orange is still alive in Kona. I saw it's about 100 and some years old, yeah. And I'm not really sure if there are different strains of Hawaiian orange.
Right.
I don't think it's just one specific orange, but I'd say more local oranges, yeah?
Sure.
And some of them are quite good, and I don't carry them. I never carried them because of Tristezia virus, which is very common here on Kauai, and I don't want to bring in any outside cyan wood for budding citrus.
Very nice, responsible decision there.
Go to the local market and get your Hawaiian oranges or plant your own.
Sure. I actually
resistant orange.
I wonder, Mylan, what's the story about tangelos? Because when you say a juicing orange, I mean a tangelo is like you almost can't cut one open. It just, you know, lets all its juice go all over the cutting board. What's the story on that? What kind of breeding created the tangelo?
Tangelo is a hybrid between a mandarin, I believe, I'm not sure, maybe dancing mandarin, and a grapefruit. Yeah.
A grapefruit? Mm. No kidding.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. And they are my favorite citrus. Very unique taste, and as you say, very, very juicy. Huh?
Have you figured out how to peel one without wearing it?
Get naked and get in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah. All right,
it's a date.
You heard it here on KKCR. I want to let people know that we had a very nice donation from Alima Fryer. She's offering her Growing Microgreens step-by-step book to the next five callers at a $10 level or greater for Kindle or as a PDF. So
super. Thank you, Alima.
Yeah, growing microgreens is healthy, fun, and easy. You don't need a lot of space to do it, and this will let you know how. And we also had a question from, not that I want to divert from the citrus, which I hope you guys will jump back into, but we did have a caller who wanted to know why there is no wine industry here on Kauai, and are people growing grapes of any kind here?
I've been from time to time encouraged by my employer to go into this. I always resist because of my experiences in Africa, where I was working with a company that tried to grow grapes commercially. And they brought in experts from Brazil, and basically it failed. Yeah. The reason is that grapes, to produce well, almost all varieties need a dormant winter period, which we don't have here. So you have to chemically defoliate them.
Ouch.
To get them to go dormant, to then flower and fruit. That said, I have heard rumors that people do have grapevines on their arbors here, Lanai and what, that do produce a small amount of sour grapes.
Are there not some tropical species, though?
No. No. There are some that are more adapted to, let's say, semi-tropical.
Yes.
They do produce in Brazil, but there you also have a more temperate regions of the country. Yeah.
You know, I had a nice chat with on that note, I had a nice chat with Daniel at the Princeville Wine Shop. And he does carry the Maui wines, although he said a lot of those, and they are upcountry, yeah, they are higher elevation, able to grow at higher elevations there. But he said even at that, they do import a bunch of the grapes that they need because they aren't able to grow them all. And anyway, anybody who's really interested in talking about wines in Hawaii should definitely go visit Daniel at Princeville Wine Market. He's super knowledgeable about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have the Jaboti Kaba tree, so why would you really need to grow grapes at all?
Sure, there's certainly plenty of other things to make wine from here.
There's another tree that just recently started carrying called the Blue Grape Tree, which is a Jaboti Kaba relative from the Amazon, but it seems to be the fruits are a good deal larger, at least 50% larger.
Wow.
And instead of growing directly on the main trunks, they grow in clusters and smaller branches. Yeah. And they also, like Jaboti Kaba, can produce twice a year. Yeah.
And you have this at K&L?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yes, we do.
The name again?
Blue Grape.
All right.
Tree.
Excellent.
Well, gosh, one last thing, just to go back to the citrus, the oranges for a second. I have always thought that this condition was sunburn on a fruit. If anybody has checked out their citrus tree and noticed that the fruit kind of has a kind of a dark brown, and it seems to happen maybe only on one side, which maybe is what led me to think that it was sunburn. I asked Mylan about it before the show, and I was so surprised to hear how that actually happens to the fruit. Would you be willing to share with our listeners?
Yeah, luckily a name of the culprit has come back to me. It's trips. They're a very tiny insect that they gnaw on the young fruit as they're just developing and damage the skin, right? Mm-hmm. But superficial, it doesn't really affect the taste, but definitely affects the visual quality,
Of the fruit.
Of the fruit.
So that it's actually a pest that has just nibbled away at the rind but hasn't been able to make its way into the fruit.
No, it's not like a fruit fly. It just feeds on the young citrus fruit.
Yeah. Wild. So everybody out there should know it's not sunburn. I've told at least 100 people it was sunburn.
It seems a big problem here in Hawaii, the ants with citrus. And I've seen older trees that just get completely skeletonized by ants over time. We were just driving past that orchard on the highway in the Kilauea area where the trunks of the trees are painted white on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Is that effective, or do you have any other strategies for controlling ants on citrus that are organic method?
Well, the organic?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. Okay.
And are you sure they're stripping, the ants are stripping the leaves? Because the problem I know is with the sooty
sure.
excretions of the aphids, and the ants move the aphids, they farm the aphids, they move the aphids around trees, the aphids suck the sap of the tree, right? And then the ants milk the aphids, and they grow the fungi in their nest to feed their larvae. Yeah?
Right.
They're a very effective chemical controls, but I don't know any...
Right. What I've noticed is not with the leaf, which I've seen what mm-hmm. you're describing, but actually the trunk of the tree getting eaten and tunneled out by ants.
You sure it's ants and not termites?
Yes. Well, unless the ants... So the ants are the visible part, and they're all over the tree,
mm-hmm.
and then... So maybe it's both. Maybe there's termites inside and the ants on the mm-hmm. outside. So, yeah, it could well be.
Mm-hmm.
That would make more sense, actually. So, termites.
Oh, yeah. It's always something.
They love that sweet wood, I guess. Yeah. So where were we left with? What kind of orange trees are we going to be planting here?
Got any suggestions, Mylan?
For orange trees? if you want an eating orange, then the Caracara navel, yeah. And for juice oranges, the Midnight Valencia. And don't forget tangelos. Mineola tangelo.
Oh, yeah. Love them.
And it's important when we decide, when we choose one of these trees to plant them, that we know that this is going to be a long-term plant in our yard. What's the sort of average lifespan of a citrus here on Kauai?
I haven't been here long enough to give you a definitive answer, but in general, in California, Florida, commercial life,
sure.
productive, is 25 years.
Wow.
And I'm sure with good care, you could go 50.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then there is sort of a lifespan there, because I have definitely met my share of older trees that just seem to... sort of be on their way.
Oh, that could very well be Tristezia virus too. You know, quick dieback
mm-hmm.
from the tips; they quickly die. They can be visibly healthy for many, many years, and then maybe between 10-20 years they'll die. It's like the HIV of citrus. You know, it started in the '50s, pretty much wiped out the citrus industry worldwide until they found resistant rootstocks,
wow.
which all citrus nurseries use right. now. Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And my neighbor is really interested in planting a lime tree.
Mm-hmm.
So a smaller selection there. Of course, the Tahitian limes are much prized, but other selections that you have there at the nursery?
We have a Tahitian lime, and we have the Mexican or key lime.
Mm-hmm.
The normal key lime... We use them in Africa as live fences to keep goats and cattle out of women's gardens.
Yes, because they are
If you're a machicist, they're a perfect lime for you. Otherwise, we have the thornless Mexican key lime, which has identical fruit but is thorn-free.
Wow. And do you suppose, is that as strong a tree as the thorned one?
It's, far as I know, it's fairly new here on Kauai, in Hawaii, so I don't know how long they've been here, what the old ones are, but they're very vigorous when they're equally vigorous when they're young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're more upright, they're not as bushy, and thornless. Yeah.
Kind of like that, especially when you're climbing for the fruit. I've been caught up inside a very thorny tree trying to figure out how I'm going to get back down again. We did have a caller asking about trouble they're having with their orange tree. Something's eating the leaf green, leaving a membrane, and wondering if it's a webworm or how to treat that problem. Sounds like something that's tunneling through the leaf itself.
Well, there are leaf miners that are in the interior between the phloem and the layers of the leaf, yeah?
Yep, yep.
And that's a small, grayish moth that lays eggs on the surface of the citrus, and then the larvae burrow in and make tunnels.
Yeah. Those are the squiggly lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have seen, though, where a whole leaf, you know, at least a portion of it, is. It literally looks like all that's left are the two outer layers.
Okay,
and
those,
the green in between is completely gone.
Those are orange dogs. That's a
orange dogs.
Orange dogs, yeah.
Wow, that's a funny name for a pest. Tell us.
It's a beautiful black and white or black and yellowish butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
That again lays eggs on the leaf, and then the green caterpillars that have toxic antennae that come out if they're disturbed, they will eat the leaves, especially the young foliage.
Yes.
So it's less than some nursery plants, is not really dangerous.
Yet. Right. And the same with the leaf miners, it's more of a aesthetic problem than.
Yeah. I don't think on adult trees it's a problem. You know? Mm-hmm. It's not life-threatening in any case. Yeah.
Right.
But organically, the usual repulsive neem or pepper or soap or whatever could, at the right moment, keep the pests from laying eggs. But once they're in the leaf, the leaf miners, and it's only with systemic pesticides that you can get rid of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the orange dogs, you just pinch them between the leaf and squish them. Yeah.
In your spare time, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So we're speaking with Mylan Rubert from Kauai Nursery and Landscaping. And Mylan is going to be offering a seminar this Saturday starting at 9 a.m. at Kauai Nursery and Landscaping in Puhi regarding fruit tree care and focusing on trees for small areas. We will be covering trees that people would just grow in containers.
No. Dwarf varieties and different... I don't want to give it all away. I've come find out.
Sure.
But no, trees are actually planted in the ground.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Can
and fruiting hedges and things like that.
Great. And there'll be a drawing for a free grafted fruit tree there at Kauai Nursery and Landscaping, as well as availability of all the great varieties you guys provide to the Kauai community. After all these years, Mylan, what is it about your work that keeps you interested? What's the cutting edge for you in terms of seeing the industry, the fruit tree industry, evolving here in the 21st century?
No, it's just my ridiculous high wages that keep me at Kauai. It's very gratifying to be able to furnish good quality trees to people who want to grow their own fruit, yeah?
Yeah.
And to, from time to time, to be able to donate to projects such as yours.
Thank you. Yes, again, the Kalihi Wai Food Forest, recipient of many great fruit trees from Kauai Nursery and Landscaping. And like a proud parent, I hope that you get an opportunity to visit your children years in the future around Kauai.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to break in and thank everybody out there. We have topped our goal, and we made it to $1,035. Thank you, everyone.
Right.
Made us very, very happy in the studio. Thank you, everyone who called in. You're just making our day. Keep it coming. We've got about 8 minutes left, and we are definitely stoked. I also want to get to a caller called in, Mylan, with a very specific question about the Buddha's hand citrus, which is one of the most interesting looking fruits that I've ever seen. And she's wondering if it needs any special care. Hers doesn't seem to be thriving. It's been in the ground for a couple of years. It's not grown very much. And she just wondered if you might be able to give her some care recommendations or fertilizing recommendations.
There's nothing special for Buddha hand or the citron, which is the ancestor or parent of the Buddha hand. It's interesting because this was the first citrus that came to Europe during Roman times from Southeast Asia via India and Persia. And, of course, it's inedible, right? But it was used as perfume and for the rind and all this, yeah.
When you talk of, just to interrupt you, when you talk of the ancestor, would the ancestor happen to be the etrog plant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very etrog interesting.
Citrus medica.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There seem to be different varieties, too. Some of them will open up octopus-like very distinctively, where others tend to stay more closed, yeah. And it's, I don't know just what's wrong with the lady's Buddha hand, because normally they're very vigorous and will sort of grow out of, and very thorny, will sort of grow out of control and with long branches that reach out, you know. I don't know anything specific for that type mm-hmm. of citrus. Yeah,
well, just say good fertilizing.
Good fertilizing.
And what would you recommend as far as a good fertilizer goes?
Organic.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Course.
Manure, okay. Compost, crystals, mycorrhiza. what else? Maybe she planted the wrong phase of the moon. Yeah.
Possible.
You should dig it up and try again.
Or that the planting hole may could have not been prepared
there's
very
so
well.
So many different factors. You know.
Needs a hug and a kiss.
Yes, needs some time. We say the best food for the garden is the shadow of the gardener.
Indeed.
I wouldn't recommend hugging it, however, because it's pretty thorny.
It bites back.
So you mentioned I want to entice people to come out for the workshop on Saturday, not only to learn great information about the fruit trees, but also to see fruit trees that are currently sitting in the nursery waiting to go home with folks. What do you have trees that at particular times of year, you know, these are the ones that are really going to capture the eye? Maybe they have a fruit on them or they're just doing really well this time of year.
Well, the the budded citrus, most especially limes and the lemons also, but in general citrus, we do not sell little weak 6-month-old Walmart trees. Our trees are usually at least 2 years old in 4-gallon pots and very often are flowering and fruiting, especially citrus. Mangoes, it would be more of a 15-gallon size or 4 or 5 years, because grafted or budded trees produce much quicker than seedling trees.
Sure.
Seedling mango can take 8, 10, 12 years, whereas a grafted mango will start producing in 3 or 4 years.
And you know that you'll get the highest quality fruit because it's particularly selected variety.
Mm-hmm.
Of course for you, but for some they don't know. If you start with a seedling, it's highly variable what kind of quality fruit you're going to get. When you get a grafted tree from a nursery like K&L, it's been selected as an international sort of superstar of that kind of fruit. So worth making the effort for sure. We want to give a special thanks to all the great folks who've donated during the show. David from Kapa'a, Baba, Mark, James from Kauai Food Bank, Colin from Lawai, one of our angel pledge, thank you so much, and Mac as well, another angel pledge. And we're feeling very angelic here at the studio and secure with everybody's effort to be able to stay on the air and give you more In the Garden on the Farm as time goes on. We'll be bringing in other great guests like our friend Mylan today, and we want to thank everybody at the station who has been answering the phones, the managers and the programmers. Everybody's pulled together so wonderfully. Thank you for all the donations from the community. And we want to let you know to stay tuned for Kauai Vibrations with Don Jewell coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I want to give you one announcement in addition, a pop-up dinner party celebration with Marta Lane and Colin Durrell and Dave Power. and they're putting this together. It's happening on November 12th, and it's going to be one of these great foodie events. And it's in part to celebrate Marta's new Tasting Kauai book that we featured on the show a few weeks ago. If you want more information to register to hold a space for this special food event, 246-1100 is the number. And just want to let folks know, if we're ready to sign off, that this has been In the Garden on the Farm with your hosts Paul and Robin. We want to thank our special in-studio guest today, Mylon Rupert, and he's from Kauai Nursery and Landscaping.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, and I hope folks will remember that he's offering a seminar this Saturday at 9 a.m. at K&L in Puhi for fruit tree care. And without further ado, this is In the Garden on the Farm. And we want to thank you for joining us and invite you to tune in again next week for more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life.
See you next week. Aloha.